Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, it's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, August 27th, 2018, and today's show is titled Perfecting Perfect, Perception versus Perspective. And those are some tongue-twisting words, all the P's. You know, people say get your ducks in a row, we need to get our P's in a row. So give me a minute. Blog Talk is doing something real weird on my computer right now. Shocker, right? I just have to log in and log back out because I like to keep it logged in. That way, if we get a caller, I can actually see the screen where the call queue is. And before I get started, let me do a brief intro. I'm Shamika Tia. I'm 42 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm the mother of one male child. I'm studying and growing in the Word, and I invite you to take the journey with me. And as I said before, the title of this show is Perfecting Perfect, Perception versus Perspective. Okay, let's try this one more again. I invite you to get out your own Bible. I'll be doing some scriptures today, mostly talking, but doing some scriptures so that we can, see what the Bible, I like to see what God has to say about everything. And let's also read the seven rules regarding prophecy before we get started. That's very important, especially these day and age. Everybody wants to be a Bible scholar, but everybody can't do that. You can be a Bible studier, but, okay. So anyway, the seven rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule, give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. Sixth, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Okay? The Bible is already interpreted as is. What you don't see in one scripture, if you just keep reading along, you will come to the interpretation of what you read. It is also a good idea to invite the Creator to help you study. That's what I do. You do not want to be reading a spiritual book with a carnal mind and carnal eyes. So a good idea would be getting in the habit of saying, God, what is your word really saying here in this verse, in this scripture? Or, God, what do you want me to study? What do you want my area of focus to be this week when it comes to the scriptures? Or what lessons do I need to learn to grow so that you can give me my next set of tasks? So you can elevate me or enlarge my territory. Oh, I just found something out. I didn't even realize it was back there. So glad I found that. You didn't even know what it was. I'm not going to tell you what happened. Anyway. God, what area of focus should I concentrate on this week or today or, what do you need? What do I need to change before you can enlarge my territory? Like, you need to start getting the Creator to sit down with you and study. Contrary to popular belief, we do have a live, living Creator. He does communicate. He does speak. And he's waiting for you to start communicating with him where he can elevate your study habits, if you want to call it that. It's just one of those things where who can better explain the writings of the book better than the author? Now, although Paul wrote, Moses wrote, Isaiah wrote, Jeremiah wrote, Ezekiel wrote, they took dictation, okay? There is an author in this book, and that's the Creator of the universe. So who can better help you study
rather than any theology school or any seminary school or any pastor or leader or Bible scholar that you think of, who can better help you study and interpret the word better than the author of the word? So let's keep that in mind. Not saying anything against those other human agents that are in place to help you study effectively, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, why wouldn't you sit down and say, okay, God, it's a big old book. I can flip to any chapter and verse I want to. But where do you want me to study? What area do you want me to focus on this week? Like, who can better do that than the Creator? And that's happened plenty of times before where I thought the Scriptures were saying one thing, and it turns out it was saying something totally different than how I was reading it. We have carnal eyes. This is a very spiritual book. So keep that in mind. You do not, why do you think there's so much false doctrine and stuff like that? Or some people that hate God or don't want anything to do with the Scriptures or seem to think it's plagiarized from some kind of Greek mythology and all this and that. Because they sat down and tried to read it and interpret it with human eyes or their human abilities, which doesn't work. I mean, if you read some of these scriptures, the gospel is supposed to be almost too good to be true. So if here you are reading with your own natural abilities, carnal eyes and carnal mind, and you're trying to interpret how could someone cast out a demon or the fact that you even believe demons being real, or how can somebody walk on water, or how can somebody, 300 men, defeat a whole nation of people, like, that's going to sound ridiculous to you because that's what your eyes and ears, you know, is limited to that, right? But when you sit down and you put the spiritual hat on, your spiritual lenses, and you take those blinders off of God, God flicks them. God can flick those blinders off of your eyes, and then you can see. Remember when Jesus was healing the blind man, and he said, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see men walking as trees." And then he did a little something else, and then he says, "What do you see now?" And he says, like almost like he was seeing back to his natural ability. We don't have those lenses on at all times. However, he can give it to you if you ask for it, is what I'm saying. You can say, "God, you know what? Flip my blindness off for a minute so I can see it the way you see it. I want to see and interpret the scriptures the way it's supposed to be interpreted. Flip my blindness off for a minute." You may not want to walk around with those blinders all the time, because if you really could see spiritually, you were probably in the nut house with all the stuff. You don't want to be seeing demons and angels and devils, and you don't want to be seeing that. There is people that can see and they end up in a nut house. So, you know, be careful with that. You may not want to walk around like that 24/7. However, when you're sitting down and you're trying to read the scriptures, whether you're a pastor or a leader or a prophet or whatever, you are going to need those blinders flicked off for a minute and those coverings off your ears so you can hear and interpret in your mind. You want to be, you know, you want God to give it to you the way it's supposed to be received, right? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to do one thing. Okay. Okay, let's go for it. So, like, back to the show. The show, oh, man, why isn't this fun? Again, if you want to dial in, the guest dial number is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. Okay, let's get to it. So y'all know I like to do the definition of the word before I get into the study. It's very important to understand what something means before you even try to study it. And especially this show. The first word I want to define is perception. Now, it's a word that we're all familiar with. We say it so often that we probably say it a little too loosely in the way and interpret it probably a little bit too loosely. And we don't give the word as much credit
get as much attention as we should. And by the end of the show, hopefully those words perception and perspective really become the focal point of your thinking mechanisms. You know, we just kind of think on our own, and it does everything so automatically. Our mind and the way we operate and talk and speak is so automatic that we really don't pay attention to what it is that's actually taking place. We're a machine. Okay? The human body, God designed it so absolutely amazing. However, we do forget that it is a machine, and if it's not fed properly or given the right thing, or turned off when it's getting hot, right? We have to rest. It's like a machine. You ever see a machine generating all day and it starts getting hot? It's going to break down. Or if, let's say, like a car, it's going to run out of gas. You got to give it a gas. You got to give it an oil change. You got to give it a tune-up. You got to change the brakes. You got to, you know, to keep that car functioning at its maximum, you know, when you start hearing a rattle, you need to address that rattle. Otherwise, it's going to turn into a worse problem. Like us, we are machines. So if we don't operate or understand that we are machines, we're not going to watch what we're eating. We're not going to watch what we're doing. We're not going to watch what we're saying because we don't understand that. We don't understand our makeup. And hopefully by the end of the show, we do at least start paying attention to our makeup and how our brains think, how our eyes see, how our ears, how we speak. Hopefully we can start understanding that. Let's start with perception. And I just want to start there. And we're going to give the, one of these days, I am going to click on something and it's going to actually work. I'm still trying to get my chat box open. Anyway, perception, the definition is the way you think about or understand someone or something. It is also what you understand or interpret from your five senses. Touch, sight, sense, smell, and taste. Okay? This is going to be involving the body and the brain. What you hear, what you see, what you feel. Putting oneself in others' perspectives always changes the perception of life. Okay? So that's why I wanted to start with perception first, because that comes first. Actually, they don't really come first. We'll get to the root of perception. But perception comes before saying not that it comes first, right? It's a mental impression. It's receiving something and then processing that data, right? You're either going to be optimistic about that thing or pessimistic about that thing. So basically, perception is involving interpretation, right? And it's involving the senses. Think of your senses interpreting something. You want to know what to put on. You open the door, you look out the window, or some people have these little jingle things that jingle when it's windy. But what can better, you can, now we got technology where we can actually go and click on the weather thing. But back in the days when there was no weather channel and there was no all these gadgets and stuff that tell you what the weather's going to be like that day, you actually had to step outside and see for yourself. What do I, it's cold out here. That's what your senses, your perception of the weather that day based on your senses of stepping outside, whether it's going to be cold, whether it's going to be hot, or I'm going to need a sweater today, or maybe I'm going to need a coat, hat, scarf, and gloves, or man, I'll have to wear some shorts today. That was because your senses are helping you make that decision, right? This is what your senses are helping you do naturally and automatically, right?
So anytime you're thinking of perception, think of your five senses. That should help you understand the difference in perception versus perspective.
I also went to the Strong Concordance with it. The word is so important. I wanted to really dissect it. And the Strong Concordance, the taste, senses, eat, and I love this one, examined by tasting. Taste, eating a small quantity, followed by accusative, a sense of taste. I know because I taste it. And then it even gives a scripture reference of Psalm 34:9, taste and see that it is good. Now, God is all about tasting and testing it out before making a determination of what's actually going on, including spirituality. He'll be like, test all the spirits. That's a, for example, we chocolate. We love it very, very, very much. But chocolate can also look like stool. You know, if you took stool and you smoothed it out and you stamped it and you made it look really pretty and you packaged it, it can look like the same thing. Also, we have something called X-lax. It's chocolate-ish, but it's actually a really bad laxative. So how you would know the difference between the three is smell. And in some cases, you may have to taste it and see, what is this? Or what type of chocolate? That's not chocolate at all. That's something else. You know what I mean? So thank God we have our senses, because Lord only knows the stuff we would be eating and drinking if we couldn't smell it. Like, I know some people that really don't have the gift, let's call it what it is, the gift to smell. And it's horrible, because I love smelling some good old food. Like, it's not like the smell of some curry or some garlic. Like, there's just certain smells that when I smell it, like, it's just like, like fresh baked bread. There's nothing that compares to, you know, baked cookies and stuff like that. It smells so amazing. It's truly a gift, and we just do it so routinely. We just don't really pay attention. Now, imagine if you was cooking it and you didn't have the sense to smell, but it was stinking when you was cooking it. Like, how would you know not to eat it? You know what I'm saying? How would you be able to make a decision that this is bad food if you couldn't smell it? Or some people will take a risk with certain meats and say, oh, yeah, even though it's starting to get a little gray, let's say beef, even though it's starting to get a little gray, I paid so much money for this and it's sat in the refrigerator for almost a week. I think I got some time. I got one or two more days before it needs to get thrown out. So they say they start cooking it. Now, beef is weird because it'll give off a certain smell. Not that it's spoiled, but it's almost like, and some people will still eat it, but me, when I smell that beefy smell, like say if I'm trying to make ground beef, I can tell the difference in fresh meat smell cooking or it's almost bad smell. And like, not that it stinks, it has a different smell, and I can't eat it at that point. You know what I mean? So my perception is on that meat, it's not spoiled, but the smell it's giving, to me, is not worth the risk of trying to eat it, even though I'm going to lose money throwing it out. You know what I mean? Now, some people would make a perception and say, I can tell from the smell it's not spoiled. It's not even a smell that would bother my stomach, but it's almost, you know, good thing I'm cooking it now. Because it's not too fresh, but it's not spoiled either. And then we'll still eat it and be fine and not get sick. Like, you know what I mean? Just not me. Like, I have a really, really weak stomach, and I wouldn't even be able to enjoy it knowing that it smelled like that when I cooked it. So that's why you got to kind of be careful when you go over to somebody's house to eat, because some people will take real risks and gambles with food like that. And you'll be sitting down at somebody's house eating it and never even know the smell wasn't that fresh when they cooked it and they knew it, but still cooked it anyway. You're not going to get sick. It's not going to bother your stomach. But my thing is, had you have known that information, would you have still ate it? Like me, no. You know what I mean? So you just got to kind of, anytime you go to somebody's house, you're taking a risk because you don't know how they cook. If that makes sense. Right? All that is perception, right? Tasting and seeing. Now, part two is perspective. Let's give the definition of perspective. I want to flip back to this. Perspective is a view or prospect. The relation of two figures in the same plane. A particular attitude towards or way of regarding something. It's the point of view, your position. True understanding of the relative importance of things. It's your outlook on it. A sense of portion. An apparent distribution and perceived sound. preception correctly regarding, and where is the data coming from? So I'm going to say it like this, and I love how when I was studying for this show, I learned so much about the two words, but I'm going to say it like this. This is also what I got. It is the perception of our reality that governs the perspective towards our life. So perception and then your perspective versus the perception of, I'm going to process this information. Perspective is the result of what you process, if that makes sense, right? A and then B, or part one, part two. Perception is part one. Perspective is part two, right? But hold that for 1 second. Hold that for one second, because here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with that. Your perception may be correct. Your perspective, based on the perception, is correct. But what said the perspective? Excuse me. What said the perception? That's our problem. Okay? That is our problem. And let me tell you why it's a problem. This is why no one changes, and this is why no one wants to change or even think they need to change. Now, there's some of us that wake up every day and say, I want to be a better person. I want to be a better woman. I want to be more spiritually inclined to what's going on in the world. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better employee. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better boss. Like, I want to be a better daughter. Like, you got people that wake up and want to strive to be a better human being as the day go on. They could master one change that needed to be made, and then, boom, they are on to, okay, what do I need to focus on this week to be a better person? And you have those people that don't really see the need to even live like that, and they think that trying to change is in vain, or I'm just the way I am, and God made me the way I am, and this is just me. I'm keeping it real. Now, here's the problem with that. Number one, stop blaming God for your imperfections. Two, who fed you? Who fed that perspective to you? What was the position? And this is why I said, even though perception comes before perspective, there's a step, there's a root to our perception, and that's what needs focus, major focus. If you want to perfect being perfect, that's what needs, that's the area of focus, is the root behind our perception of a thing, right? And I'm going to give you some examples.
I'm going to start doing this checking off. If I could change your perspective, which is part two, you change your life, but we're going about it the wrong way. We get mad at people because their perspective of what's happening is off. Their perception of what said the perspective is off because we never understood the roots of not only them, us as well. Okay? And let me tell you what I mean. I'm going to give you some examples. Let's take addiction, for example. The addiction mindset means, I'm going to give you the position and the perception of an addiction mindset. And it could be any type of addiction. It's let's have fun. Let's go on a trip. I'm taking the edge off. Let's get high, when you actually are getting low and self-destructing, right? Let's say drinking, because I used to wrestle with that. Let's say drinking. It was, man, I had a long day. I need a drink. You know what I mean? Instead of me addressing the issue that took place that day that made me actually want to drink. That's what sober-minded will do. So if you, that addiction mindset would be, like I said, it's always going to be, oh, let's have fun, or this is going to make it easier. This is going to make it easier to deal with instead of trying to actually fix the problem, right? So we got the addiction mindset versus the actual sober mindset.
okay? And this is why God says, be sober-minded, because you will not, and sober-minded can conquer the addiction if we would just only let it. But we're looking at, for some reason, we let the addiction conquer the sober mind. The sober mind would go, oh, my God, I'm never going to drink again, because now that you are winding down from that hangover and you're feeling horrible and like crap, you start negotiating with the creator. If you make me feel better, I'm never going to drink again. That's the sober mind. The addiction mindset will go, no, that's because you overdid it, and now you should know your limit. And you get it? So it's like two different mindsets feeding each other. Why? The root. There's a root behind that. There's a very, very bad root behind that. And the root is sober mind should be picking up on is this is going to eventually affect my liver. Or this is actually a depressant. So shut up and let's fix the problem. Now you have to be sober minded to have that perception, right? Let me say it again. You have to be sober minded to have that perception of drinking is a depressant. Everybody's proven that study that it is going to make you worse. It makes you feel worse. But for some reason, the addiction mindset is saying, oh, I'm only taking the edge off. Oh, I need it after my long day. You need to be depressed after a long, bothersome day. It's two negatives bringing you down, and you're sinking even lower and don't even realize it because your perception is off. What said it that? Someone taught us that drinking is to calm your nerves, right? That's what we're taught. Oh, it calms your nerves. It takes the edge off. Well, let's have fun. Ah, let's get a little buzz. So we make these words sound glorious, and we want to take part in that when that's not really what's going on, you know? The sober mindset would say, well, let's say you grew up with an alcoholic in the family. A sober mind would say, no, because I remember when, let's say you had an alcoholic dad. No, I remember when dad would get drunk and come in the house staggering and start beating up mommy or beating up me or raping me or raping the kids. There's people that have a horrible history with alcohol that know ain't nothing fun about going, getting drunk and coming home and terrorizing your family, you know. The addiction mindset doesn't see that. It can't even comprehend what that's like. Everything is me, I. Because the perception is way off. What said it that? You know what I mean? What said it that? Then you have some people that are sober-minded and still have the addiction mindset. Well, my mama was an alcoholic, and well, my daddy was an alcoholic, so I'm just destined to be, I have this disease, and I just was destined to be an alcoholic. What fed your mind that mind? What book? What book says that? What gave you that perception? That's what we need to watch. That's what we need to watch. Who gave you that mindset? Okay? Who gave you that mindset? Right? And we'll get to the scriptures in a minute. I just want us to, for now, peel that layer off that already gave you that mindset. Rip through that mindset and say, okay, soberly or unconditional, let me hear what she's actually saying, right? Cheaters. Let's take cheaters. It's not just about addiction. Let's take cheaters, for example. Here's the cheater mindset. I don't S-H-I-T where I eat. I work hard, so I have to play hard. As long as I take care of home, everything is okay, right? They start justifying their behavior. Well, Solomon, if you want to get real creative with the Hebrew Israelite organization, I'm going to call it what it is, the Hebrew Israelite organization. Solomon did it, and David did it, and all. I am a man, and it's not enough men to go around. I'm a good man, and it's not enough good men to go around. You're being selfish, and you're like, look at the perspective of cheating being glorified in terms of something spiritual and heartfelt, because you're so worried about all the single women in life that you can take on five or six of them that you can't really afford anyway to be compared with yourself. But your perspective tells you that your perception of looking around and seeing that most of our men are in jail or dead or drugged out or whatever, that you, thank you, Jesus, that you have your mind, your right mindset, you can take on extra burdens that you're not even rocking in that area with the one girl. But your perspective is you can take on five or six other responsibilities of those women because it ain't enough men to go around. And if your wife has something to say about it, she is ungrateful and selfish. I kid you not. I could not make this up. I could. They probably go down your timeline, too. In their mind, there's no such thing as cheating. They are, what they call it something, too. Not giving back to the community. Well, something to that effect of they trying to help our community and our people. Like, it's really warped how they feel about it. I mean, it's actually demonic. But for the sake of just keeping it on the surface, it's a real warped mindset that they're going to be a blessing to these women if they come in contact with. They can't find a man because only you are available to be their man, and all y'all can share them. And you know what I think about? Like I said, I did a couple of shows about it a while back. Y'all can look it up on my page. I have a page called Shamika Blog Talk Radio Show, Remnant Peculiar Israelites. You can just scroll down and see. I called it polygamy. It's actually a name, so it's not like you think. It's actually a title. It's called polygamy. And that's what their mind, that's what the perspective, polygamy is the perspective of, since there ain't a lot of men to go around, let's just shear me. Okay? Why? The perception was way off. Their eyes and all of that, the perception was way off. Way, way, way off. Okay? Their perception was, y'all can shear me. Not, wow, I'm so glad that my wife has me and she doesn't have to live and struggle like those women. I'm going to make her the best husband I can possibly make her. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't suffer from that lack of a male present in the household. Like, nah, that's what sober-minded is. We're still talking about and dealing with sober-minded. Sober-minded doesn't necessarily mean not drinking or not taking drugs. It means a clear, layered mind, layered with the Creator's mindset. Directly how he made, perfect as it is, like perfect how he made us. God has made us so perfect, including the way we think. However, we don't watch the root and what's feeding our perception of a thing. Then our perspective grabs root of that, and the next thing you know, we're self-destructing and don't even know it. We don't even know it. And then we agree to stuff we don't even know, right? Yeah. Because that should be the mindset. My spouse is just what I need to keep me grounded. God blessed me with a perfect gift, and I would never fathom what cheating on her would be like because I don't need to. She's just what I need, or he's just what I need. Even when she gets on my nerves, I still need her. Even when he gets on my nerves, I still need him. Even when I don't, even when we're arguing and probably fighting and cutting up and cussing each other out, I still need her or him, or I still thank God for my blessing. You can be mad at somebody and still grateful to have them in your life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or. Because here's the thing. Admitting that you made a mistake, you married the wrong person. That mindset is also still a faithful mindset. Because it's admitting that you picked the wrong person, you get divorced, and then you ask God to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Right? So by this time around, I'm going to invite you. Do the selection for me. I got it wrong first time around. I don't make good decisions. You made me. You know what I need. You know the beginning from the end. So who can better find me a wife than you? Who is the lady or the husband? Not just husband and wife. Who is the man you have for me? Like, who can better pick my man than you? Because you made me. You know exactly what I need. You know exactly what I want. I don't even know exactly what I need and want, but you do, so you can send that person to me. Like, who can better make that decision than the Creator? Right? Nobody does that. Well, I'm lying. So somebody did do that, and their relationship is listed differently in that Bible. Isaac did it with Rebecca, right? So you'll never see these polygamy dumbos. Let's just call it what it is. You'll never see these polygamy dumbos quoting the Isaac and Rebecca's marriage, right? It's always Solomon did it, David did it. You'll never see them say, well, wait a minute. God selected Rebecca for Isaac, and actually you never really read about no nonsense like that going on. And, you know, even to the point where they saw each other and was like, oh, oh my goodness, that's him? Oh, wow, wow, wow. Like you never really, anyway, perspective. So admitting you picked the wrong person, get divorced, ask God to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, or, let's say before you get to the level of cheating, you can admit that you're a sex addict. There's some people, I'm going to say the majority of people are sex addicts and don't even know it or don't even recognize it. They keep wanting to blame, they want to pull an Adam and blame that other person's being inadequate for them, or, well, she don't do this, or maybe my wife wants lingerie, or my husband was bigger, or like all these other things that it's always the other person, always the other person, never admitting that you're just unpleasable. You cannot please the unpleasable. So here's the thing. If you're a sex addict or you struggle with a sexual addiction, there is no pleasing you, right? There is no pleasing you. It's like a taker. If you are a taker and you are with a giver, they can't give you enough because everything is going to be, oh, well, you should gave me, you can give them $100. You're like, here's $100, just call. Oh, $100, true. You should have gave me $500. You're going to give me $100. Like, you can't satisfy someone that's unsatisfiable. I don't care if it's a word or not. It's going to be the word today. You can't satisfy the unsatisfiable person. It's just not humanly possible because they don't even know what it is they want, right? They think they just want to get it. And then you know, is that even what you want? Maybe you just got a deep-rooted appetite for something else. God says it's for him, right? So instead of them trying to figure out what is the root to my addiction, or why do I want to shop so much, say shopping, why do I want to shop so much to the point where I don't have any money to pay my bills, right? Because I used to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved clothes. I was definitely a clothes horse. I'm still in the clothes horse. I'm actually outgrowing my closet now. I came out here with two suitcases worth of clothes, and I'm outgrowing my closet now. I just like a lot of clothes and fashion and all that stuff, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to the point where you go in the store like how I used to do, and you're buying stuff that you know good and well you can't even wear or you can't even fit. Or you don't even like it, like when you get home and you never go back and return it. Like you just, it's just the rush of just being able to buy it and have it. I used to buy like pointy toe boots that was just so beautiful in the store. And I'm like, oh my God. And I know good and well, I can't walk in pointy toe boots or spiked boots. Like my feet is just not designed for that. And, but I had a few pair. And I guess my mentality at the time was, I'll just wear them for a few hours and just go out. But whatever it is, it was kind of stupid. You know what I mean? You know what happens? They sit in the closet, taking up all kind of space, right? Yeah. And you didn't even want it. That used to be me. I'm telling you, that used to be me. I didn't even want it. So, I didn't even know there was such thing as shopping addiction. I just thought, oh, I had it. I got the money. I planned my life. I got one baby. I planned my life so we won't be deprived of anything. And whatever I want, I'm going to the store and get. And, yeah, that was true. But at the same time, I didn't even know that there was a shopping addiction. Because if you're buying stuff that you, number one, you know you're not even going to wear, right, or you don't have that body type, or, like I said, shoes that you can't even walk in. I had spike heels and stuff. I can't walk in spike heels. I know I can't walk in spike heels. I was a recovering tomboy, so why would I go in the store and buy spike heels that I know I can't even walk in? And worse, sometimes I would leave the house trying to walk in them because, you know, everything feels good on carpet. and everything feels all right, and you get in the car, taking a couple of steps to get in the car, and then sit down and drive to your destination, then you get out the car, and you got to walk around in those shoes that you know is not designed for you. And you ever see that you walking around on your feet, hurting your back, hurting your legs, hurting everything, just hurting because you're walking in these shoes that you know is not for you. Like, that was me. Thank God, you know, we ain't got to live like that no more. Thank God I discovered that I was a shopaholic. Okay, I had a shopping addiction and didn't even know it. Moving to Georgia, I'm like, oh, God, I have all this stuff. I mean, just stuff and stuff and stuff and more stuff. And as much stuff as my friends and family came and shopped and was transporting back and forth, they still didn't get all the stuff I had. And shoes and bags and just clothes and clothes and clothes. And I've been the size I was all my life, so I just had clothes and just clothes and just clothes. And, I mean, categories of everything. And I was like, ooh, that's a lot of stuff. Like, yes, it's good to have stuff in abundance and be blessed. I'm not saying that. But if it's stuff that you would never wear and you knew that going in and you knew that coming out, after a while it's an addiction, right? So, back to the, that's my 8th prayer watch, y'all see. 3 o'clock, y'all should be praying. We'll revisit that show again soon, too, of the prayer watches. We did that show a while back, and we'll revisit it soon. Anyway, so admitting that you're a sex addict and that you need help before you catch a disease would solve the problem rather than cheating, right? I don't want to hurt people, so I need to get help. I am worth more than a one-night stand. Like, this is stuff that if you just watch what fed your perception of it's okay to go to a random bar and leave with a random person, or worse, cheating with somebody that's close, or, you know, you're breaking somebody's heart. Like, that's all kind of things that fed our perception that we had to kind of learn and grow from. We've all done it, but... have you grown from that, or are you still a mature adult with the same behavior patterns? Like, you have to know yourself. And if you know that about yourself, then watch the mate you choose. Make sure maybe, you know, let's say you do have a sexual addiction, then pick somebody that has one too. So y'all can just, you know, be together, you know, where a point where it's not like, oh, if you have a sexual addiction, you may not want to select somebody that doesn't really like sex. Because that's not going to work. That's already setting yourself up for failure. Right? You know what I mean? And like I said, this is watch what's feeding your perception. Watch what's feeding your perception. Those are just some examples. How are we doing with time? 3 o'clock. Okay. I see we got some callers. If you are on the line and you would like to ask a question or comment or share your perception and your perspective, the guest dialing number is 563-999-3682. 563-999. That actually makes me think of cigarettes. I was smoking for years. I mean, I had a couple of cigarettes here or there before I had my child. And after I had my child is when I would say I really was smoking. To the point where I was actually buying a pack of cigarettes, probably. I mean, I would be begging and bumming, but to the point where I got to the point where I was actually buying a pack of cigarettes, I would say I was probably 18 years old, like very young, 18, 19 years old, when I was officially buying a pack of cigarettes. And I'm 42 right now, so I have been smoking for years, and I mean years. That's well over 20 years. From 18 to 42 is a long time to be smoking cigarettes. And it wasn't until I got cold and all this other stuff and God wouldn't let up and he just kept letting me know that everything that I was doing was a problem for the direction he was trying to put me in and for the level, and I'm still climbing, but it wasn't until he actually changed my perspective. And what changed my perspective was my perception of cigarettes. What changed my perception of cigarettes was the root. And first he let me know what the root of smoking cigarettes was. It was how people were, back in the days, how they were calling spirits, okay? They wanted to just blow smoke, and they had this whole big thing, and this is how they called in spirits. So first I'm like, I don't want to call in spirits. I just want to have a cigarette. I want to get some, just want to get some tobacco and a little bit of nicotine. And did I want to be calling in spirits? No. But he revealed that root because my perception of smoking was off. Like, again, oh, I just need to take a, you know, I'm cooling down. This calms my nerves. Like, instead of me thinking of it calms my nerves, imagine you trying to calm your nerves and then you see a damn demon. Dude, I don't think that's how you calm your nerves. So here it is, I'm opening up this portal or keeping this portal open for demonic activity, just smoking cigarettes because my perception was way off. I did not know that was the route to cigarettes, smoking. I did not know that. I mean, that was the route to tobacco. They would smoke tobacco and then blow it and just get this big smoky atmosphere so they could start chanting and calling in spirits. So I'm like, whoa. But that didn't stop. He kept on showing me it was also a worship of, idol worship of Baal. And I'm like, well, damn, I'm just wanting some nicotine, so a little tobacco. So first he had to change my perception of how I was seeing cigarette smoke. Like, oh, this is not a big deal. Yeah, I can eventually catch cancer down the road. It's still a gamble here or miss. Maybe I admit, maybe I will not. But because I didn't know that route to actually stop, because now you have this really bad habit, okay? They don't call cigarette smoke an addiction. They actually call it a very, very bad habit. And I agree with them because it's something that you can stop, or you can just freaking stop like I did. I stopped. But what made me stop is when I got called into, not just called into ministry. He called me into ministry years ago, running from it. But it was when I didn't know he was kind of like, keep going. After he had called me into ministry, I just thought, okay, I just stay at this level. This is nice. I go to church. I do this. I do that. Nice. But it was, no. Come on up a little higher. And all of that stuff has to go. And I was going to go into Bible school, and it was like, oh, Bible school. You want to be a pastor? Like, okay. And it wasn't until I clicked on that link. And I said to him, I said, okay, all right, I got to let the cigarettes go because half of us in the world don't like this whole spiritual walk because of the hypocrites and because of how you're going to teach something that you don't even live yourself, or, you know, be living proof of what you're trying to tell me to stop doing, or how you're going to tell me to stop doing something, or you just struggle with this. I don't struggle with cigarettes, though, but I struggle with, like, if you have your struggles your own, you haven't mastered and conquered yourself. So how dare you stand on the pulpit and try to tell me how to kick it? You know, that's everybody's mentality. Looking at a pastor, you should be living proof of this word, that this word works, number one, and then two, that you've mastered yourself before you sit there and try to tell me what I need to master about myself. So I feel very strongly about that, and that was one of the things that kind of changed my perspective. It's like, oh, here I am on the road to becoming the hypocrite that I can't stand. So let's start tweaking this behavior. And then my perception changed. And then, therefore, my perspective is a little bit different. Now I'm watching the decisions I make. And I'm not perfect. I'm on the road to perfection. But that's really what hit it for me. And then to take it even a step further, I got rebaptized in May. And I was like, well, you bothered about a little bit of cigarettes and alcohol, you must go be, surely you're bothered about all the other things that I do. So let's slow those down as well, or go, you know, on the road to addressing them and stopping these things as well. And that's really what it was for me. And like I said, I'm still a work in progress. I'm definitely still under construction, and I'm still trying to best myself and my decision-making, and I haven't conquered it at all. But what I'm saying is, it's on my to-do list, you know what I mean, because my perception has changed. I can't stay this way, right? How many people even wake up saying, I can't stay this way, or I can't keep doing this, or I can't keep living like this, or I can't keep being with this person, or I can't marry that person, or I can't stay married to this person, or I can't keep hanging out with this person. Like, how many people wake up and actually feel like they need to make alterations in their life? Not too many. Not too many. Not too many. Because why? Their perspective is being fed by their perception. But who fed their perception? They don't see a problem with that root of, I could cheat because I work hard and I play hard, right? That's what we got some quotes. Well, okay, I do see the line. But before I go into, how are we doing time? Before I go into wrong perspective makes wrong decision, and whose perspective are we following? What type of character do they have? And are they smart? Like, before I go into the decision making and how we become making these self-destructive decisions, we're going to address it like something, address it from the root of how it even got in the root. And before I do that, we're going to take some callers and caller in the queue. I think I know this is Queen Pam. And I'm going to unmute your mic, Queen Pam. And for the other caller that's on the line, if you have a question or comment, just press pound one so I can see your I see your call on a queue, but if you press pound one, I'll know that you want me to unmute your mic so you can speak as well, or you can just listen in silence. It doesn't matter. I just wanted to let you know that if you did have a question or comment, it's pound one, and then I'll see that you have a question or comment. Hey, Sister Pam.
Hi, Sister Lisa. You're looking all peachy and pretty today. Yes, but... yes, ma'am, you are. But I'm loving the your topic, man. I am loving it because perception is so wow. It can either make you or break you, you know. And the thing, you know, we got so much influence in this world, and God knows it's not always great. But I remember when I was a small child, you know, I used to look at the TV and see the smoking and. You know, they put in the movies to make it look so glamour and sexy. And, you know, I try to, you know, puff on a couple of cigarettes at the time because, you know, we all want to be accepted in this world and loved. You know, they're just part of it. But the thing is, you have to as you grow old, of course, when you're younger, you're very influenced. But hopefully, as we grow old, we learn how to more accept ourselves. And for those who are more in tune into the spirit of God, you know, to try to pattern ourselves after Him. No one's perfect. I'm definitely not, but at the same time, I do see the growth in myself, and I'm very grateful for that. I say that to say this, you know, get your own perception of what you think is beauty or, you know, what makes you, because going by this world, you will be, as the children say, jacked up, because, you know, they have the music, they have the moves and everything is just opposite of really what, you know, God wants. And so a lot of times we as people, but particularly younger people, we are influenced by that and we try to do everything that they do, and that's why our lives are chaos, because we are looking at what others think is the right perception or perspective of life, et cetera. So the thing that I would say, you know, look into your own heart. Do some praying, Lord knows. Do some fasting, you know, try to be more disciplined and we learn to love and accept ourselves. So now, me, I be myself, you know. Those either love me or you don't. But, you know, I'm not trying to stick in society any longer. So with that, beautiful show, I love it. And with that, I'm going to rest my mic and allow others to speak. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Queen, for your comment. And you are so right. That's exactly what most of our roots are. Something we saw on television, something we heard in the music, and now all of a sudden our perception is, oh, this must be okay because I saw it in the movie. I mean, look at everybody that watches, like, let's take Scarface. That's like a classic. Everybody's classic is Scarface. And, you know, in this movie, here's this, the horrible situation happening, this horrible character being glorified, is being portrayed as something good, and they sing songs about it. We actually had a rapper call himself Scarface. And look what we're claiming and sewing into our lives. Do you really want to have a bad scar on your face?
You know what I mean? And number one, not only are you sowing horrible, self-destructive stuff to you, but you're glorifying this movie that as if it's something good. We have Boys in the Hood and all these other stuff. There wasn't supposed to, we weren't supposed to watch these movies and then want to be that star character. We were actually supposed to be looking at the root, the middle, and the end of that type of a lifestyle. Now, depending on if your perception was off, like most of our perception was off, then you didn't get what you were supposed to get out of the movie. For example, my mom, I credit her for doing that. We used to watch movies like Lady Sing the Blues and Sparkle and Mahogany. Those were movies that we watched as kids with my mom. And what she would do is actually teach us about that drug world and teach us about these type of men that prey, P-R-E-Y, on beautiful women. And you girls are beautiful little girls, and you're going to grow up to be beautiful women, and you're going to have men that grow up and see you and see you as money makers or see you as prostitutes, you know, rather than the beautiful little girls that you are. They're going to be seeing, how can I make money off this girl? And, you know, be careful. Next thing you know, they'll be pushing a needle in your arm or you know, giving you the stuff to put up your nose so the short for show your perspective is way off. And how many women have we seen that happen to? And, you know, so like I said, I credit her because I didn't watch those movies like, ooh, look at this glorious lifestyle. Ooh, she's snipping. Or, ooh, she's got this needle in her arm. Like, I never watched it like that. I watched it with precaution, like, oh, God, in fear almost. Like, oh, my God, this is what can happen to me if I'm not careful. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Jesus, it never did. Like, thank you, Jesus. That's why I don't judge the people that it did happen to, because it could have happened to any one of us. Had mine not lived it, she was actually teaching what she lived with her brothers and sisters. She thought she knew what she was in the battlefield to see. This is what happened with all her brothers and sisters. Let me teach my children what to watch out for. And this is what you watch out for. Let me show them. Guess what? That teaching was so great, I did it with my son. I was watching Boys in the Hood with my son. I was watching these thuggish, ruggish movies with DMX and, you know, Belly and all these movies. I was watching those movies with Dante because I wanted to teach him the same way I was taught. Like, let me show you. Oh, look at that. See that nice car he's driving? See that nice place he's living in? Oh, he's running, riding around and getting it, right? Nah. Look at what's going to happen in the end. Look at what's going to happen to his girl in the end. Look at where he's going to end up. Dead or in jail, like there's one ending to this whole thing. They don't rise into the sunset. And thank you, Jesus, my son was never, ever, ever enticed by selling drugs and wanting to be a gangbanger. Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever. To the point where if you tried to even approach him with something to do with that, he would come home like, Mommy, guess what? This guy tried to tell me I should sell drugs for him. And I'd be like, what? And thank you, Jesus, he wasn't enticed by that, you know?
Yes, beautiful, yes, ma'am, beautiful. If I may just say one more thing, then I'm going to roll on. But you're absolutely right, sister. We definitely should look more into, you know, this our children. Or, you know, like I say, it may not be my children from my womb, but nevertheless, those are my children. And so when we get a perspective or a love, should I say, for that and trying to help our babies, and then it would be a lot better, and we would see heaven on earth. And that's what we should do. If it's just one person that you touch, if you can only get that one, then you've done more than any money could ever, you know, place on a price like that. So I love what you're doing with our younger girls and to the going to womanhood, because it's very important that we do it for both sexes, male, female as well as male. But we definitely have to influence and help our baby girls or the youth, because they are, when you teach a woman child or a child, a girl's female, you're really teaching the whole world of their nation. Nations can arise no higher than a woman. And so it's very important, of course, I just decided to look at women as nothing but sexual toys, or, you know, to be used, abused, et cetera. But we must teach our girls that we are the second step of God, our part of God, and that they are so important. So when you or anyone does a job to help our children, females or males, because they both need love and guidance. That is more, like I say, I'm getting chills just speaking of it. It's more than any price or pay that we can ever get. And we will be rewarded by Almighty God, by the grace of Almighty God, if we would just take that time, patience, and love to have faith, at least as many as we can. So if we just get that one, keep them from, you know, being killed and doing violence and in jail, et cetera, and then we definitely have done our job. So with that, thank you again, and beautiful program. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, Sister Pam. I love how you said, even if it's just one. You're so right. I think a lot of us, adults or even young children that can see something in somebody, I think a lot of times we think too globally, when it be the children right in your household or the children right in your backyard playing with your children or, you know, your neighbors. Or it be like kids that you could affect, like I said, even if it's just one, the girl on the bus or the child you see in the supermarket. Worse, the teachers. Like, I don't think teachers understand how important their role is. Like, you can change somebody's life with just, you know, watching your curriculum. So I don't think we think so right now. We're so busy trying to change the world instead of, no, just tweak it and change it. What you do to the girl on the bus or to the boy on the bus or the girl in the field or your son's classmate or your daughter's, you know what I mean? It's things that we can do, like, right now that would be so detrimental to everything. And we don't even take that – we don't take that bait. Like, that's the bait we don't take. We want to stand on this, you know, we want to stand at the podium and make this great
speech.
But you got people right, and you know, they're right in your backyard that you never want to just take the time to share something about your life that can impact them in a way. So I love how you're so humble with that and said, even if it's just one.
Praise God. Yes, ma'am. With that, so let me, because I can talk about this all day. I really am getting chills just thinking about saving, helping someone, save all the babies. We have to, because if we don't, who will? And what's more valuable? What's more valuable than our own baby, children, and stuff?
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so let me go out of this super show, but I'm going to sit back and rest on mic. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sister Pam, and thank you so much for your comments. Always spoken from a true queen, and I really do appreciate you calling in. And, again, like I said before, if you are on the line and you have a question or comment, don't hesitate to press #1, and I can unmute your mic, and then you can ask a question or comment. I also have the chat box open if you feel more comfortable typing your question or comment. And also, we're on Facebook Live. So let me scroll down and see if there's any questions or comments. Well, this is Sister Pam. You said peace and love. Sister looking so peachy pretty. Thank you, Sister Pam. Sister Pam again. She's peach, beloved sister. Tashaun is giving prayers. Thanks, Tashaun, for joining. Tashaun Rennie. Battery low. Aw. His battery's about to die. Sister Pam says, hi, Tashaun. Aw. Oh, my sister. Her name is Tashik. So we have a Tashant and a Tashik. Tashik is my sister. She's joining. Hey, Sheikulik. Ain't speaking in a minute. What's going on with you? She must have got a boyfriend or something. She never let the time lapse and not call me and just say hello or something. I don't know. She knows I don't call. Like, I'm really introvert, so she knows I don't just call people. But she used to be the one just calling and say, hey, Nick, how you doing? Like, she didn't even let, you know, definitely not a couple weeks go by without her doing it. So, whatever, Sheiky. I guess I'm out of sight. I'm out of your mind. She said, I good smell, too. Very good. Yeah. Like, be back. And thanks for joining, everyone. Pam said I have the same addiction shopping yet. Justin Flynn says, keep going. Thank you, Bredrin. Jasmine Heyman is waving. She said, good evening from the Czech Republic. First time here. Wow. Does that mean from Czechoslovakia? Or am I bugging out? Okay, that's amazing. Jasmine, nice to have you here. That's what I love about Facebook. Yeah, I know what it really was for, but you can just kind of meet people from all over the world. I got a lot of African brothers and sisters that's friends, Facebook friends with me. Speaking of that, I've been trying to get the plug in with the shea butter, and one of them was okie dokie in my inbox. I was like, how much does it cost for, this is a squirrel, by the way, how much it costs for, I think I even said 20 pounds of shea butter, and it was like $400 U.S. dollars. I mean, come on now, really? I'm not saying it ain't worth $400. Shea butter is priceless, okay? It's really priceless. But come on, man, like, don't try to rob me, you know, because you hear from the U.S. U.S. people are not rich. Like, I don't know what y'all believe. That, oh, if you're from America, you must be rich. No, I'm not. And I just wanted some damn shea butter. Like, you know what I mean? You ain't had to try to rob a sister like that. That's very brother of you. Very brother of you. And maybe you, I don't know, maybe you put the wrong zero in. I don't know. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you just added one too many zeros and you didn't know how to convert. But outside of him, the robber, the inflator, if there is someone that, when I'm looking for motherland shea butter, like from Ghana, from Africa, like actually from Africa to my doorstep from the mailman, please let me know how much a nice, I want a nice big, you know, a nice big amount of it. And I just like to grease up with it every day. Like, it's not even that serious. I like to grease up with it every day. I also would like to start doing vendor events again and spark it back up a little bit. I'm not trying to take advantage of you. I know what it costs up here. I was hoping to get the plug down there because, number one, I want it in its most rare, purest, raw form. And, two, I was trying to kind of help you out and keep it, you know what I'm saying? Do you see how you can't be about the people because then the people want to rob you? Don't do that. Don't do that to your brothers and sisters. I mean, that's not, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to rob somebody that's trying to actually help you sow into you, you know what I mean? Don't do that. That's why people don't like buying black. Like, all this stuff, buy black, because this is what happens. And, yes, I know that this African brother does not represent everybody. But, nah, you do got people where you're trying to buy black, but they want you to break bank. Like, cut it out. Stop it. Like, stop it for real. I mean, I had this chick was selling lipsticks for, like, $40 a piece. Like, come on. Really? I mean, really? And she had the nerve to be like, oh, you buy Lancome and you buy MAC and Bobbi Brown. Oh, right. Like, you know what I mean? Stop. Like, stop. Really, stop. Anyway, that was just a squirrel. Let's get back to it. I'm trying to buy black. If you know how to get shea butter from Africa, I just want to plug. Like, how is that so hard? Y'all jumping on my wall all the time. Y'all can't go to the local market and ask whoever sells the shea butter. Listen, how much for a nice 25-pound bag? I even, like, I don't want to break bank. I just want a nice big old block of shea butter. It doesn't have to be in jars if you don't want it. If you do want to keep it in a jar, that's what's up. But I used to actually get a big, I think it was 50-pound, a big 50-pound bag for, like, nothing. I used to get that from the city. I just live in Georgia now, okay? I live in Georgia now. So if I was getting that big old bag for, what was it, $50? It was cheap. So because it wasn't coming in jars and stuff. Like, I don't need the jars. I'm going to take it out of the jar. So my thing is, if I was getting that hookup from there, why? What, shouldn't you be cheaper? You know what I'm saying? Because don't forget I got to pay for the shipping to ship that heavy block of shea butter. Like, don't rob me. Don't do that. That's not nice. That's not very godly. Like, us Israelites are supposed to be kind of, you know what I'm saying, in unity. Don't do that.
And if all goes well, like, I'll be ordering from you all the time where, you know, I can plug people into you. But this is how this works. You don't inflate the prices. Oh, I got over $40, but I'm never coming back. You know what I mean? And then all the plugs that I had, you know how many people are asking me daily for shea butter? And people are in my inbox wanting me to start my business back up, and you could have been that plug for me. So you see how this works? Where you would have keep generating. And now you could take out a little commission for yourself. Let's say if you're not the one that actually sells it, so you want to make a little, you can take a little commission out of yourself for $400 for 20 pounds of shea butter. Stop. Like, stop it. Stop it. Hey, stop it. Let's see. Myra Terry, you look like a hot, sweet peach. Very tasty. Thank you, Myra Terry. You still worshiping the devil? Or are you ready to come on this side? Let me know when you're ready to come on this side. I want to do the honors in leading you to confession, okay? Please, Myra, whenever you feel that push to want to give your life to Jesus, hit me up. I want to do the honors in leading you to that confession, okay? Please. Myra says, you're a very good teacher. I've been praying for your success and for you to reach talk show status. Oh, my God. Talk show status. I think that if you had a show on TV, I would love to watch. Very interesting. We need this in our society. Plus, you look like a peach. Oh, my God, Myra. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. And I do, I don't know, I want to say if I appreciate your prayers, because I think we pray to two different gods. But I do appreciate that you would like to see me on TV talking about the Lord and representing him in a positive light. I do appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And if you do pray to the creator of the universe, Jehovah, Yahweh, God Almighty, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, creator of the universe, the one who made heaven and earth, if you pray to that one, then thank you. Pam said exactly. Pam says, beautiful job, that's right. And Sister Pam says, we sometimes rob our own people. Yeah, you can't believe it. I mean, so y'all don't think I'm lying. I will take a screenshot of that post and show y'all how you try to get me. And I wasn't even asking for a lot. Like, I really need a 50-pound bag, but I just wanted to get some prices going back and forth. I kid you not. I'm going to tell you right now what he said. Oh, shoot. I asked for 10 pounds. I was like, I need 10 pounds of shea butter. Please let me know the price. So then he says it will cost $50. And then he said, no, one is $40. So the total cost will be $400. I'm not lying. Can y'all see? Well, y'all probably can't see with the screen. I thought I asked for 25 pounds. I had asked for 10 pounds. 10 pounds of shea butter is going to be $400 on me? Really? I was like, I just gave him a laugh face, and I said, no, thanks. I didn't want to curse him out. Y'all know I'm trying to be like, leave the person alone, right? I'm trying to kind of elevate for a new level, this new language. I'm starting trying to leave this person alone. I didn't want to curse him out, but, and thank God I didn't. I just was like, okay, no thanks, like, this is stupid. But, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I thought I asked for 25 pounds. I asked for 10 pounds, $400. And you can't say he misplaced the zero, because 10 pounds of shea butter, well, yeah, maybe he misplaced the zero. I was going to say, but let's see. For 2 pounds of shea butter, which is yeah, that would work, right? Well, let me, am I bugging? Wait, let's see. Not yet. 2 pounds. Means I would need 5 jars. Yeah. So if I got 5 jars at 2 pounds each, would be 10 pounds. So, no, because it was $6. 6 times 5 is 30 bucks. Let's say he misplaced his zero and he meant $40. It would be a little bit steep, but I can see that. But 400, I'm just going to assume he misplaced the zero. I'm sorry, Felix. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that maybe you misplaced the zero. Because if you was going jar-wise of buying 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, buying 5 2-pound jars, then, yeah, it still would be steep, but I would get that. If he was in New York, if he was in the United States selling it, that's what the, I guess, the going price would be for the jars in the jar. Yeah, but not if somebody's trying to buy wholesale, you know, you can work with them. So I'm going to assume you misplaced the zero and you added another zero by mistake when you did the conversion, right? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He just don't think I'm Google fool. Like, ooh, she's from America. I bet you she's a lot rich and she wants what we have. So if she wants to shave it, I tell her $400. She will pay whatever we tell her to pay because she doesn't know the we get it, we make it right in our backyard. Nah, come on, man. Stop. I'm just going to assume, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you just misplaced the zero. You added another zero in the conversion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get back to the show. I want to get into, oh, my God, is that the time, 3:35? Well, we can hurry up. Let's get into, so perception comes before perspective, right? First is your perception, and then your perspective is involved in your behavior, the result of perception. But now let's get to the root of that. What's feeding that? And I think Sister Pam opened up that gate real nicely when she said movies and music. Absolutely. What are you watching? Who are you listening to? Let's take it even a step a little bit deeper. Relatives. Who are your relatives? You got a lot of people that glorify their parents. You got a lot of people that glorify their sisters and their brothers and their friends, strangers, books, videos, movies, all this other stuff. And that's things that have the potential to feed your perception, right? But you got some, I don't want to curse. I don't want to curse, but I need to say it the way it needs to be said. So I'm going to say bum, A-S-S-B-I-T-C-H, right? Let's say you have one of those in your household that you grew up with. She's bum, right? So she's going to give you bum mindset. That'll be the mindset of, like, Lil' Kim. Remember Lil' Kim, when she came out with that song, S. Are we saying niggas or are we not saying niggas anymore? I don't think we're saying niggas anymore. So it's FNs get money was the song, was the title of the song. And then Biggie came with the FBs get money. And the mentality was basically she was saying don't fall in love and get all wrapped up, just get the dough, just get the loot. And we was all bumping it in the cars. We was all singing it. We know verse for verse every word to the song. We even actually started living like that. We actually agreed with her at one point. Yeah, exactly. Why am I going to get all wrapped up in this guy? He's just going to cheat on me anyway. So I might as well get out of it what I can get out of it and get some money, right, was our mentality. And we kind of agreed with that mindset at the time. That's cool. However, we had no idea that at age, you know, as a teenager or a young adult, at that age, you don't really have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to say that's a bum, A-S-S-B-I-T-T-H, mindset. Let me use a man for money is basically what the song is saying, right? Let me use a man for money. Or let me be all about the dough. Let me be all about money. I'm all about money, 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 money. And there's something very, very wrong with that because, number one, not only does it contradict scriptures, it gives us a total different perspective on relationships and because our perception's off. You see how that one song fed our perception, and then our perception gave that data to the perspective, and then the results became yeah, I can juggle multiple dudes because I'm not taking any of them serious. This one's going to get my hair done. This one's going to get my car fixed. This one's paying my rent. And you even had multiple dudes for multiple different things, considering what the needs were. And that's where the problem was, is because that's a bum, A-S-S-B-I-T-C-H mentality. There's some of us that have women in our lives that felt like that, right? To the point where it would make you become a stripper or start saying in your mind, well, or let's say the mindset of, well, you go to the club and dance anyway, and you're dancing and you're whining for free, but you can get some money for doing what you're doing for free in the club. And then your perception, then your perspective goes, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, why am I whining and dancing for free? And then you, next thing you know, you want a different road, a whole different path. So easy. Somebody else just puts that. Who's feeding you that bum? Fed you that mentality. Then we took the bait, didn't we? So you grow up and you're like, wait a minute. I don't like even asking people for money. I can't stand asking people for money. I can't stand it. I cannot say, oh, can I borrow? I can't stand it. I don't like saying, oh, can I borrow? And I'm so bad with it to the point where if I do have to open my mouth and say, can I borrow? I'm going to make sure it's beneficial for you. I'm going to give you way more than you let me. It's going to be a little additional money in there. Or I'm going to negotiate something like, oh, if you let me borrow $20, I'm going to do X, Y, Z and give you back your money. So it's beneficial, right? Like, that's how bad I can't stand asking money. That's when that mentality, I didn't have that mindset. However, I tried to adapt it, and I agreed with it for a season. And then after that season was up, I was just kind of like, this ain't even me. Like, what am I doing? This is not even me. And you realize, I got stuck in that damn song. You can get stuck on a song. You can really get stuck in an artist. That's what an artist's job is to do, put you in their world, put you in their mindset, put you in the mindset of the lyrics, and that's exactly what it did. It did it for years, okay? It did it for years. There's some people that got a burnt, bitter, cheater for parents. Let's say your mom. Let's say your mom was burnt and had her heart broke and, you know, was really, really bitter and just burnt and never kind of got over what happened, her marriage or her divorce or her relationship or with your dad. And so growing up, she's raising you and she's talking from a bitter, burnt, her perception of life and relationships is going to be totally off, right? Oh, all men are dogs. Remember that mindset? Oh, all men are dogs. You can't trust these hound dogs. You turn your back, these hound dogs will be sniffing up somebody else's tail. Now, don't get me wrong. I still agree with that. However, I feel like you can tame your dog if you try. With the help of the good Lord, you can train that dog to sit and heal with some careful instruction, okay, and some careful teaching and training. You can tame that dog. But at the same time, she was hurt, bitter, broken. Oh, matter of fact, there's a movie about that. What is it with Taraji and Morris Chestnut? Yes, it's called I should know this name of this movie because I used to actually have the movie. It's when she was in a bad car accident, and you know which movie I'm talking about. You know, it's with Taraji, and come on, Taraji and Morris Chestnut, enough said. That's all I have to say. And you go, oh, yeah, I know what movie you're talking about. Taraji and Morris Chestnut. But anyway, the lady that plays her mom, she's a very famous actor. She's the mom from Blackish, and she played in everything. I mean, everything good she's in her. But she played the role of a single or divorced, bitter,
burnt mom, and she was teaching her daughter to be like that, like men don't really have a big role in the house. I'm going to tell you, most strong black women mentality was like that. Your role is not as important as my role. You're just here. You're just a body. You're just here to pay bills and do as I say and shut the hell up and don't have an opinion about anything. So she was raising her daughter to kind of treat her husband like that. And it wasn't until a short while after finding that out and after she kicked her husband out of the house and acting all kind of crazy like a bitter black lady. And then she sees her mom outside on the porch drinking and holding the pitcher and nobody knows and having a pity party. And then she kind of like, oh, you are hurt and bitter. And this is why you give me this type of advice, because your perception is way off. And that's when Taraji aims to try to get her husband back, which she does. And then and everybody lives in happily ever after. But, and that's why I like movies like that. That's why I love movies like that, because it shows you that you can have a loving mom that means the best for you and wants the best for you, but their perception is off based on their roots or based on their marriage or based on their relationship or based on who raised them, who gave them that mindset. And then here we are having that mentality trickle on down the family tree with this same burnt and bitter mentality, to the point where you don't respect men, you don't respect dad, you don't see them as an asset in your children's life. You want to kind of shun them out your children's life because you think that you can do a better job, but you bum, you're a bum, and you're treating your kids to be bums too. So never recognizing the valuable role that their father could play, even if he's a bum as well. Most likely if you're a bum, you pick bum type dudes. So y'all can just bum together, but you don't see the value in his bum adding to your bum to make a complete bum. I mean, that's the only mindset that would father, which is the other half of that child's life, bad or worse, teach them to hate that father when you just mad that he's not with you. You're a bum, and that's where that mentality comes from. And, you know, you're not doing it. It's never a parent either that is doing a really, really good job with the child. You just bumming the kids around and teaching them to be more bums and don't like that bum because I'm a better bum because I bum you all around. I'm not doing a good job. And instead of me inviting help from that bum and us, me bum and you bum can make a better bum, but let's just all be bums. And the kids never, hopefully, the kids can see that bum-ish mentality in that parent and say, I'm not going to take your advice. I'm going to respect you until I'm old enough to tell you I want my father in my life. Like, hopefully those children that are raised like that can rise up to the occasion and see that bum that's raising them and not keep that family history up. And worse, they become bum dads themselves, especially if you're raising a man child. They just come bums and think it's okay to not live in their child's life. Well, I didn't grow up with my dad, so I don't got to be a good dad either. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just that bum mentality, that bum evil spirit. It's an evil spirit of a bum, but that evil spirit just keeps up in that child's life, and then they become a bad dad. And, I mean, it just, it has to stop. It has to stop. It really, really does have to stop. And like I said, that hits really, really home with me because I was one that had my son at an early age. And thank God I didn't let that bum mentality get to me because I actually saw the value in my son's dad and he actually lives with him. I'm like, I got another year to complete school. I'm not going to let this bum mentality get to me. I actually want you involved. Actually, you should be more involved than me. You're much older than me and you can do a better job than I can right now. Let me make this decision. Help me make his life better because you're a man. He needs you. You're his other half, and he needs to know that you love him. Like, it's very important to have people know that the two people that made them love them, even if they're not wholeheartedly in their life, or let's say that person's in the army or in jail. Like, even if they're not around, it's important to let that person, let that child know, whether it's a girl or a guy. Sometimes the guys need their dad more than anybody.
just as much as the girls need their dad. So it's very important to let that child know your other half loves you. Even if you don't even know where that other half is, it's important to let them know that that has everything to do with their upbringing and their self-worth and what they think of each other. But a bum can't see that. All a bum sees, I want to badmouth the other bum. I make bum decisions, but I don't want to badmouth myself, so I'm going to just highlight that other bum over there. It's real stupid. It's really, really stupid. So I'm telling us to say, whose perspective are you following? That bum that raised you, or were you able to see that, sure, he's a bum, and let me not think bumish like this person. And I'm not going to be like that. I'm actually going to finish school, get a job, get a better job, get some education, and or just be self-employed. Like, whatever it is you want to do, don't let it be based on that bum that fed you that mentality. Or you got a bum homegirl, or you got a bum friend, your homeboy's a bum, and, like, you know, all these bums is just, notice how outspoken bums can be? They could be so outspoken. It's usually the person that don't have no job, that want to tell you, oh, you working for the man, or, yeah, bum, yeah, I like to eat, I like to go to the store and buy things, yeah, you know, so watch who's feeding you, who's perspective are you following? Who gave you that perception to make your perception? I mean, to make your perspective. Like, where did that come from? And then ask yourself, what type of character do they have? Are they positive or are they negative? Are they givers or are they takers? Right? Who are they? I don't care what role they are in your life. I don't care if it's your grandma. I don't care what role you put them on a pedestal, but who is it? Who is behind that flesh? Ask yourself that. Who's behind this flesh? You know what I'm saying? Like, who is it? Who is it? And then you need to ask yourself, are they smart? Are they full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Or just book smart in that one area? Because you got people that glorify, especially these day and age, people glorify people on how much money they have. That's their success. How much money are you making? Like, if you're not rich, you're not successful. That's how a bum mentality rate people like that. Well, if you're not rich and you're not successful, you know, you must have did something wrong. And never understanding that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has nothing to do with man-made money. Okay? It has nothing to do with man-made money. And because that mentality can be a perceived that you got man-made money to buy stuff that's natural that our creator put here for free, water, food, stuff like that, land that our fathers and that is free, and man has come around and put a price tag on that, but we're buying stuff that's free. So if you want to be rich, that's your mentality. That's your bum mentality. But that still has nothing to do with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on the advice they're giving you. So ask yourself, are they smart? Are they full of wisdom? Are they full of knowledge? Are they full of understanding? Are they capable of giving you correct information, correct advice, correct steps, right? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself, do they respect life? Do they respect themselves? Do they respect others? You got people that don't even respect themselves and don't respect others, but they want to tell you how to be. I'm good, right? Doesn't it make you wonder why God hates gossip, false witnesses, disunity, liars, thieves, hypocrites, all this stuff that he hates? Like, doesn't that make you kind of say, oh, that's why? Because bums do that, right? Bums do that. Oh, I didn't even get to the scriptures. If you are on the line and you have a question or comment, press #1 so I can unmute your mic if you'd like to share your bumness or what bum you ever came. You can press #1 and I can unmute your mic. Or if you just want to listen in silence, that's fine as well. If you are joining via another way and you would like to dial in and share your bum story, the area code is 563-999-3682. 563 888-999-3682. Yeah, we've been fed from bombs. Let's say a pimp was feeding the hood all this supposedly knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He's a bum using women to prostitute their bodies to make him money. That is a bum if I've ever seen one, but you got people glorifying pimps to this day. Oh, big pimping. Oh, look at big pimp. Oh, look at the pimp. Well, he got a nice Cadillac and some nice jewels and a nice coat on. I mean, look who they idolizing. A bum. A real bum. Or worse, glorifying rappers and these heavy metal artists. And I'm not going to just attack rappers. My buddy said that in church yesterday, and I got disconnected from the message ever since that. They brought up rappers, and I was just thinking, like, why didn't you say heavy metal? Or why didn't you say all this other demonic music? Like, he just kept it with the rappers, and I was disconnected from that point. But the heavy metal artists, or anybody that worships the devil, you're a bum because you can't even see past. You're stronger than the devil in this earth. You have more dominion than the devil on this earth. So why do you worship the devil? You know, and you're feeding us these demonic lyrics to do. I'm in love with the cocoa or Percocets and Molly, and you glorify and raping and all this Manhattan, but you're a bum because you're glorifying evil. That's a bum. That's a bum. And you need to check that. You need to see what's up with that. Oh, my goodness, we got 5 minutes. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I didn't get a chance to get into the scripture, so I'm going to just tell them to you really quick. I was going to address it from Satan giving Eve her perspective on that fruit. Now, his God already gave Eve the root and the perspective of don't eat of the fruit, and the day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. That ain't nothing more, nothing less, right? A bum comes along, and because here's the bum. You got kicked out of where you was from, and you homeless. Satan is a bum, homeless, kicked out of a kingdom, and is just on earth, mad and bum. Bum. And here he is, he sees Eve, and he gives her a bum perspective. Oh, Pat, well, he knows the day you eat of it, you're going to be just like him. That's why we don't want you to eat it. And then it says when she saw that the fruit was good to eat, the bum mentality came and changed her perspective. And then she saw that fruit in a whole nother light, that it wasn't, but the bum fed her that mentality. So watch these bums in your life. Watch these bums in your life. They got a lot to say. They got a whole lot to say. They're very, very outspoken. They're very, very slick with it. They're very, very crafty with it. Watch these bums. Okay? Watch these bums. They worship. Bums worship bums. Because you can't be a bum and you don't worship a bum. Okay? Watch these bums. Anyway, if you're tired of being a bum, you too can step your game up. You can come on back to the kingdom. Denounce that bum that's been giving you perspective. Denounce that bum that's been feeding you perception to make you have that perspective. And dig up that nasty thing. Open your mouth and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Say I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. Jesus, I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation, for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. And that came straight out of the Horizons Unlimited for this amazing pastor church I used to go to. And I've just been reading that every time I do a show for a year because it's so perfect and so thorough as is. I don't even see the need to change it and say something else. If that ain't it, I don't know what is. Watch these bums in your life. I can't warn you enough. Stop putting people on a pedestal. It could be your homeboy. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be your parents. It could be, somebody you really, really look up to, role model, rappers, these ball sports players. Like,
like, stop idolizing people. Why don't you idolize Jesus? Idolize God, you know? Read the scriptures. Who should you be idolizing? Jesus. Not Solomon. Not David. Not this one, not that one. They all make mistakes. Don't idolize bums. Satan was the biggest bum if I ever knew one. And that same mentality is polluting the earth, including with my life. Just pick yourself up and come back into the royal priesthood, or you can be a bum. I don't know about you, but I'm now a member of the royal priesthood, over and out.